In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The next challenge that we want to discover, that we're going to discuss this time, that is to our relationship with God, is one that attacks us all, and one that we all find a little bit puzzling. And it must be one of the most often asked questions in any spiritual meeting or in any session of confession or guidance. And that is, how do I understand God's will? How do I know which way God's guiding me? How do I know what He wants? How do I know that I'm doing what He wants? It seems like it's a very important question, if only for the fact that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask that His will be done. And so therefore, at least, we should know what it is we're getting ourselves into. We say every time, "Your will be done." But what does that mean? We don't want to be praying empty prayers. And so we want, when we say that His will be done, that we really are aiming for something tangible. I thought I'd start with you, before trying to understand what God's will is, to know who God is. God, in His essence, we all know, is the Almighty. He is our Father, and He is our Creator. He knows all things. He has created all things in an incredible system that gives glory to Him. In an incredible system that is so well balanced that humankind has existed on the earth for thousands of years. And that we, as his children, as humans, have been provided for in every way possible. In his first epistle to St. Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 4, St. Paul says that God, quite simply, for every creature, God is good. So one thing we know about God is that He is good. God is good. God is love. And these should give us a little bit of indication of how God acts with us. And because He is good, and because He is love, because He is our Father, and because He is our Creator, what we do when we listen to Him is we start to trust Him. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, we're told a little bit of the experience of what it is to meet God and to deal with God. And Psalm 34, 8 reads, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste it in everything. See it in everything. Look around you. You want to know God is good? Look around you. Look at what He's done. Yes, it's easy to look at catastrophes and say, why have they happened? Disasters, why have they happened? Atrocity, why is it happening? Persecution, why is it happening? But this isn't all that we have in the world. It is very easy to focus so much on those things that we lose sight and we completely ignore all the good. All the love, all the care. The continuation of that verse, Psalm 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts Him." So, if He is good, as we know, if He is our Father, as we know, if He is our Creator, as you know, if He is love, as we know, then why would we not trust him? So that's the first thing, just ascertaining who God is. Now that we know who God is, let's try to focus a little bit more. What is God's will? Now, if you want his will to be done, then we've got to understand what God's will is. And I'm starting to look at a very wide picture, as you can see. God is good. God is loving. Taste and see. Blessed is he who trusts. Why would we trust him? What is God's will? And why would we trust that? Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, verses 38 to 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Is there any clearer verse than that? Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, of God. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this, again, verse 40, is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. So what is the will of God? The will of God that every one of us who has seen the Son and who believes in him has everlasting life. I'm sure you came here and thought, I'm going to talk about how do I know what course I should get into and who I should marry and which house I should buy and what tie I should wear in the morning and all of those things. But we've got to look from the broader picture first and then zoom into those specifics. We get so bogged down in those specifics, we forget. God's will cannot just be about what job I get, or cannot just be about who I marry. God's will, God, the creator of all, must have a much greater will than all of that. You know, we humans now pride ourselves on what we call lateral thinking. And that is that we look at the broad picture, that we look across a few different ways of thinking, and we think laterally. So we consider different things. Now, if we as humans pride ourselves on lateral thinking, then how much broader is God's thought? God's will for me is not just about where I should work, or who I should marry, or what course I should study, or where I should live. God's will for me is much, much broader and long-term. If he is telling us not to focus on this world, then it would be very, very strange for him to focus on this world. So what God's will is, as we read here, is that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. God's will for us is everlasting life. When parents are thinking of their children, they want to leave them a will so that they can live on and they can live comfortably. Now, God doesn't want to give us a will. God is going to give us our inheritance. The difference is that for human beings to give inheritance, they must be dead. For God to give an inheritance, we are suddenly going to become alive once again and enter into his kingdom. So God's will, yes, incorporates job, study, marriage, everything. But embodies all of those, gathers all of those into one focal point. I'm going to look after you during the course of this life, just so you can get to the next life. Because I want to give you that inheritance. I want to give you that kingdom prepared for you since the beginning. I'm not happy with you just being focused on this world. I'm making an investment for you. I'm going to put you on the right track. But this is not where your life ends. For your life starts when you leave the earth and you come into my kingdom. This is a warm-up. This is just getting to know each other. This is for you to know me and know who I am, and that we start this relationship initially so that we can then enter into our real relationship that is everlasting. How do we know that this is God's will? How do we know it's so important to Him? Quite simply, because He paid such a price for it. You know, if I want you to have something, then the more I want you to have it, the more I will pay so that you can have it. And what did God pay? Quite simply, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the price. That was the price that He paid so that His will would have an opportunity to be. Because without Him coming down on earth, without Him sending His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, without that, His real will for us, that we have everlasting life, could never have been realized. Because we were living in darkness and the shadow of death. We would have all existed in Hades until He came down to save us. Just as our forefathers were before the resurrection. He wanted to give us so much. And He says to us, yes, you know, I want you to have a good life on this earth. I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to be successful. I want you to be strong. I want you to have life, but this life is not enough for me. I want you to have life. Gospel of St. John chapter 10 verse 10. But I want you to have it more abundantly. Not just this life. This is just a start. I want you to have an abundance of life. I want you to have a life that no one can take away from you. I want to give you riches that moth cannot destroy, that thief cannot steal, that does not disintegrate with time. My will is that you be with me in my kingdom. And that anything else during this world leads you to that ultimate will. God, why do you want us in the kingdom? Why are you trying so hard? You know, we really don't want to be there sometimes. We're rebellious. We're troublesome. We just don't want to do it sometimes. And God answers and says, my beloved, I want you there because I love you. Because this is where you belong. Because you belong in your Father's house, not feeding swine under the care of a citizen of this country. You belong with the robe and the ring and the sandals and the fatted calf. You belong in the celebration and the feast. You don't belong with the swine. You don't belong in a place where you yearn to eat the pods. I want to feed you. I want to feed you with my love. This is my will for you, that you have an abundance of life. Yes, I'm going to give you things along the way. And so the words of Scripture are very clear. How do I understand God's will? By reading the words we just read. That God's will ultimately is my life with Him. Starting from this world and going on to the next. Starting here on earth and developing until I reach His kingdom. In the Gospel of St. John again, chapter 17, verse 21. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He prayed to God the Father, said, Father, I want that they may be one, as You are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in us. So what is the ultimate will of God? The realization that we are one with Him forever. What is the relationship of God the Father and God the Son? Ultimate love. Absolute love. They are one. And this is what He wants for us and of us, that ultimately we share in the same relationship. That is His will. But back down to earth, out of the clouds, we know all that now. Do we know all that now? Does it make sense? Is it clear? Okay. Let's get down to which tire we are again. On this world, on this earth, in this world, what practical things God wills for me? So, how do I know God's will? First of all, we know that God is perfect. And we know that God is unchanging and unchangeable. God is consistent. So therefore, whatever God's will is for this world, for me, must be consistent with His ultimate will for me. They can't contradict, can they? They can't contradict. So what He wants of me in this world and what He wants for me in this world is going to be consistent with what He wants for me in the afterworld. Which means that everything He wants for me here is going to be a vessel to get me there. That's the first step. That is the first test. That is the ideal test. Look at it. Is this going to get me to the kingdom? No, it can't be God's will. Is this going to get me closer to God? No, it can't be God's will. Is this going to make me stronger in Him? No, it can't be God's will. Is this going to distract me from my life with Him? No, it can't be God's will. Because it's not consistent. And our God is not inconsistent. Our God is perfect. And our God has a plan. Now, we don't necessarily have to go along with it, but our God has a plan. We have seen in Scripture God very clearly showing people His will. If we start with Abraham, and He showed him His will. We move along to Joseph, and through his dreams He showed him His will. We move along to Moses, and through the burning bush He showed him His will. We find that God shows His people His will in many different ways. And so what we should do is, if we want to know and recognize God's will, we have just in those examples three people. Now a verse comes to mind here from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And so therefore, based on that verse, I should say, my God, my loving God, my Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, to whom you showed your will and to whom you spoke. The God of Joseph, to whom you revealed. The God of Moses, with whom you spoke and to whom you gave your commandments. I'm asking you now also to tell me. Ask, it will be given to you. Lord, let me know what your will is. We underestimate prayer. We underestimate asking. We underestimate the fact that we really can't do things on our own. He's there for us and he wants to help us, but we need to ask him. Reveal yourself to us. When our Lord spoke to his disciples, he gave them another tip. They were overwhelmed. There was this great, charismatic, strong leader who was God, who was their master, who was their teacher, who had come down and in the space of 3 years had changed the whole world, had changed their world, had restructured thoughts and redefined things. And suddenly he said to them, I'm leaving and you're going to carry on. They said, hang on a minute, what are you talking about? We're going to carry on? We're some fishermen you just picked up along the way. We don't know any of this stuff. We don't know what you want us to do. We don't know what your will is for our ministry, our service, our lives. How do we find out? How can you possibly leave us? He says, children, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I would never, ever not think of you. I would never, ever not direct you. Firstly, because you are doing my will and you are my ambassadors, but more importantly, because you are my children whom I love and I would never leave you stranded. So I tell you what, I'll let you in on a little hint. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of my will. The Holy Spirit will remind you of my promises. The Holy Spirit will remind you of that which I require of you. The Holy Spirit is active in our lives. He is within us. We receive him in the sacrament of chrismation. And he acts within us from that day. We are his. He is our God. And he works through us to reveal things. He reveals within us the will of God. He is the Spirit whom within us will reveal all that we want to know. Remind us. Direct us. We all want the short answer. We all want the easy answer. How do I know God's will? Give me a formula. I want A plus B equals C. I want it now. I'm sorry, I don't have one. Very sorry to disappoint you, but I don't have one. But what I can tell you is the Holy Spirit that is in you and in me, that Holy Spirit who is God, he can tell us. He can tell you and he can tell me. He convicts us, but he also reveals. He directs and he shows. That was John 14:26, by the way, those who are taking notes. Then if we go on to John 16:13, again, the same thing. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come. We always think that the answer is out there somewhere. How do I know God's will? How do I find it? The answer isn't out there. The answer is in here. It's in us. The Holy Spirit within us can tell us and show us all things. Because the Holy Spirit is God. I was just speaking to a group recently, and I pointed out something, and I discovered something, that we quite often deal with the Holy Spirit as a power, as some kind of force, and we forget that the Holy Spirit is God Himself, and He is within us. So the will of God is not out there floating around. The will of God can be revealed from the Holy Spirit who is within us, who can tell us all truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? So for me to be able to know and recognize God's will, I've got to polish up my receptors. I've got to let Him be able to communicate with me. I've got to be able to be sensitive to knowing what God's will is. Because sometimes God will talk to us and will try to reveal His will, but we just don't realize it. One example, I'm sorry I keep picking on them, was these poor Israelites who were leaving Egypt. Yes, they had a difficult time. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, 22, when God speaks of them, He says, "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times have not heeded my voice." They've seen it. They've seen my will. They've seen my power. They've seen it clearly. Anyone who has had that experience, we sometimes say, "God, please show us a sign." Any sign, just the smallest thing. And we'll take the smallest thing to be sign. I'll be so happy and so satisfied. We'll be so grateful. Now think of these Israelites who are leaving Egypt. Suddenly they're going down, and they look behind them, and they see Pharaoh and his soldiers flying down after them. And they're panicked. There they are with their children and their elders and their livestock and everything. And they look ahead and they see the sea. What are we doing now? "Moses, what have you done to us? Is this the will of your God? That we drown or that we are killed? Can this be the will of your God who has, according to what you say, told you to lead us out?" You can see Moses saying, "God, help me out here. This is really embarrassing. Well, I told them we're going to have freedom. This doesn't look like freedom. We're either going to be massacred or drowned. And I know you give us a choice and everything, but that there isn't much of a choice." And quite simply, God said, "Strike the sea. God, this is no time for playing with water. Just help me out. I'm in real trouble. Look, they're coming down. They're charging down. That Pharaoh guy has just lost his son. He looks really mad. In front of me, there's a big sea, and I don't know how to swim." Moses, "Strike the sea." And he struck the sea. And the sea parted. The sea parted. Now, if you and I saw that, I don't think we need any more signs, right? That would be pretty much of a sign to any of us. But they saw this. They didn't only see it, they walked through it. was a quite commercial venture because it was the first aquarium ever. But they saw it, and they walked through it, and they were saved by it, and they got on the other side. Not only were they saved, but their oppressors died. God showed them his power. God showed them his will. They saw it right in front of them. Only a little while later, they were back worshipping the golden calf. God's will is there and is clear if you want to see it. The problem isn't always with God letting us know what his will is. The problem is sometimes with how receptive we are and how much we understand. Remember that old Jonah? In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 2. You know, God always speaks in riddles. And he always just doesn't make things very clear. We all have that problem. Not always clear. Well, this is a real riddle. I want you to listen to this one and tell me what you think. Speaking to Jonah, in his usual cryptic message sense, and he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That sounds really cryptic, doesn't it? Arise and go to Nineveh. Is there any clearer message that anyone has ever received? Someone says to you, arise and go to Nineveh. So Jonah said, did someone say something? Nineveh, that's in that direction. Okay, I'm going this way. Now, that's really God's problem, right? That's his mistake. That's his fault. He didn't show him his will. It just didn't suit him. And sometimes we know God's will. It just doesn't suit us. You get into a relationship and you get this, your conscience telling you, your mind telling you, your confession father telling you, your parents telling you, your friends telling you, the only thing that isn't telling you is your heart. But everything else is telling you, don't go down that road. It doesn't seem to be right. And we do exactly what Jonah did, just go the other way. Then we wonder why we get hurt. Don't take this particular job. Don't take this line. Don't take that decision. And it doesn't suit us, so we go the other way. Then when we fall flat on our faces, we say, God, why have you left me? I didn't leave you. I told you to go that way, and you know I told you to go that way. But you went the other way intentionally, because you thought, like Jonah did, that you can go against my will. Okay, fine, I'm not going to do anything to you. But you're just going to have to suffer the consequences. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be upset. I don't want you to fail. But I also cannot override this thing called free will that I created in you because I respect you and I love you more than that. And so the problem isn't always in us not knowing what God's will is, but in us accepting God's will. But Jonah arose to flee. He thought he could flee from the presence of the Lord. Well, he found out pretty soon that didn't happen. But he found out the hard way. Is it that we don't always know what God's will is? Or is it that we sometimes don't like it? Is it that it sometimes just contradicts with what I want? It just clashes. And so therefore, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it. I'm going to pretend, God, I'm going to pretend either that I can't hear you or that you're actually giving me the other option. But who are we going to kid? And where are we going to go? What was he thinking? What was Jonah thinking? What are we thinking when we hear God's voice and we're told by so many people? Because God's will and God's voice can come to us from many sources, from Scripture, which is important, because as we saw, we can see the lives of the saints and the lives of the prophets, lives of the men and women of God who were directed, through prayer, because through prayer we are guided. He speaks to us and we speak to him, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, who guides us and directs us and makes known to us all things that were taught to us. Sometimes we just don't like to obey what we don't like. Other times, we try to use our own minds. Because God's will doesn't seem to make sense. And this is another problem Jonah had. He said, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. And he thought, Jonah thought, here we go again, I'm going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to tell them that God is really upset with you guys. You've been really, really bad. I want you to repent. I'm going to make that journey. They're going to repent. He's going to forgive them. I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to go through that. Why do I want to do that? I'm not going to do something that sounds so crazy to me. Jonah, what is important is not what sounds crazy or credible to you. What is important is the will of God for you and for his people. What is important is you submit to that will. What is important is that you know what he wants you to do and you do it. Yes, he created a free willingness. Yes, he created a mind. Yes, he created all of those things. But without interacting with him, these things work against us. Because if they are not led by God, they are led by the world and by Satan. I need to polish up my receptors to God and be able to listen to him and understand him. I need to be on the same wavelength. I need to be on the same frequency. You know, sometimes when we pray, you either don't get any signal at all, or you get something which is just very crackly, and you don't really understand it. What that means, just needs a little bit of fine-tuning. And what is that fine-tuning? It's an increased relationship with God. It's a further knowledge of God. It's after 1, 2, 3, 10 situations that I start to understand what God's will is. I start to know. I've used this analogy, and I'm sorry if you've heard me use it before, but it just makes such sense, is that, can anyone hear music? Can anyone hear music? Is there any music in the room? No? You sure? Does anyone hear the famous radio station or anything? No? Why? Obvious question. There's no radio. Thank you. That's what you're college students, right? That's what I like. Say, isn't it? The future of the church is wonderful. There's no radio. There's nothing to receive. There's nothing to pick up signal. There could very well be a radio here. But again, if it's not switched on, it still will not receive the signal. Does that mean there are no signals flying around this room? Are there radio waves flying around here? There are. The only reason we're not picking them up is because there is no radio. And even if there was a radio, if it wasn't switched on, we still wouldn't pick them up. Once we switch the radio on, it starts to pick up the waves that are already here, and we start to hear that. If it's still crackly, if it's still out of tune, a little bit of tuning, and the more tuning we do, the clearer the sound. This is God's will. The fact that we do not hear God's voice sometimes does not mean it's not there. All that means is that our receptors, our receivers, aren't switched on. The receiver of my mind, the receiver of my heart, are not switched on. And even if they are switched on sometimes, they're switched to the wrong frequency. They're switched to earth station, ground station, not to heaven station, not to God station. And until we receive those signals from God through tuning, we will never know God's will. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, eventually Jonah, were all tuned in. And they heard God's voice, and they knew God's will. God's will for you is that you live with Him forever. And God's will for you on this earth, in your respective careers, relationships, social life, everything else, His will is going to be consistent with that which takes you to His kingdom. If we don't know it, we need to know Him more. If I'm dealing with one of you whom I have met for the first time, I'm not going to know what you want. If I am dealing with one of you whom I have seen from a distance, I'm not going to know what you want. If I start dealing and I get to know you, when you start to speak, I'll understand what you're saying. When you look at me in a particular way, I'll understand what you're saying. And eventually with time, just in a particular situation, without you speaking or you looking, I'm going to know what you want and what you're saying without even looking at you, because I know you. And this is the same with God. The more we know Him, the more we know what He wants to say to us. The more we know Him, the more we are receptive to what He's saying. The lead we have on this, and the head start we have on this, is that we know that His will, as we read, is that to get us into His kingdom, and that everything on this earth has to be consistent with that. So with that factor, and with the fact that I get closer to Him, and with the fact that the Holy Spirit works through me, and with the fact that He wants to communicate with me and He tries different means, and with the fact that I know that He loves me, with all these things together, then with time I will experience, and with knowledge of God, and with work of His Holy Spirit, and with our prayers, and with our reading of His scriptures, and with our seeing of His examples, and with our reading of His holy men and women, and with seeing all of those things together, we start eventually growing in our relationship with Him, knowing Him more, understanding Him more, hearing Him more, and eventually knowing more of what His will for us is, both in this world and in the world to come. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Take a moment, please, to think about it.